Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 802 on ESPN 97.5. 713, anything that we've talked about so far you want to get in on, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Julian wants to talk about Lamar Jackson. Hey, Julian, how are you?
What's going on, gentlemen? So Lance was just talking about how Lamar Jackson, you know, Baltimore needs to be cautious about trying to make him more of a passer. Well, who's his OC? Greg Roman, right? Who was the OC in San Francisco when Kaepernick was balling because he was running? Then they tried to make him into a pocket passer. What happened? Dude couldn't even beat out Blaine freaking Gabbert.
Yeah, it was. Lamar is a better quarterback to me than Colin Kaepernick, but
Kaepernick got him to the Super Bowl.
No, but they also were showing the zone read, which nobody had seen. Like they brought a college element that nobody had seen.
Lamar won an MVP doing a lot of that.
Yeah, and teams kind of figured some of it out, and so now it's up to Lamar and that offense to hit reset on some things as well. Because what happened was, I was told that Buffalo showed how to play Lamar Jackson the first time they played. Now, Baltimore won and beat Buffalo, but then Tennessee took that blueprint, took that film. I was told this by somebody on the Tennessee staff, and they said, we just did what Baltimore did and just did it better. And we know how they beat the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. They forced him outside. So now, what teams want to do is play Lamar Jackson up the middle to where they take away seam throws and they take away throws between the hashes and they force him outside. So now he's got to beat them outside or not play into their hands. And so my only point was, and look, Lamar threw the ball great 2 years ago. Look at his passing numbers. They were good. What I'm telling you is teams obviously have made an adjustment. He didn't perform as well last year once they adjusted. So now Baltimore is going to have to figure out what do we do best on offense, including Lamar Jackson? And what's going to be interesting is see how they balance taking what a defense gives them and trying to beat them with that versus trying to be more aggressive with their passing game and Lamar Jackson. Because we know their running game's good. We know J.K. Dobbins is good. And I wouldn't make an argument that J.K. Look, if J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are getting after it, then let those guys, and Lamar Jackson, some games you're going to run for 300 yards and throw for 140, whatever. But you are at some point, to your point, John, at some point, Lamar Jackson is going to have to get to a point where when a team stacks a box, he can take advantage of what you're doing defensively. And when you try to challenge him and say, okay, you got to beat us this way, that he does beat him that way. Mm-hmm. Like at some point, if he ever wants to win a Super Bowl, that's going to have to be the case. He's an explosive, dynamic player, but if they try to turn him into something that he's not, it's going to be to the detriment of that offense unless he proves that he can be who he's going to be. I think he just needs better, more consistent wide receivers. I don't think that means they need to open up and become a more pass-heavy team and a less run-oriented team. They clearly win games running the football.
And you want to – hey, the first and foremost, let's just win football games. But I don't know that they take that next step without him. You know, they've figured him out in the postseason. He did finally win a playoff game, but then it was shut down. I don't know that the Ravens are going – now, unless they play unbelievable defense like they did back in the aughts, back in the early 2000s when they won the Super Bowl. Was it actually? It was 2000, wasn't it? Whatever. When they beat the Giants and Kerry Collins, that's the kind of defenses you got to play to win a Super Bowl. I don't know, but they need to take another step, and whether or not that's. But he, you know what? He might be right. You know, okay, we're going to try to throw the ball with Lamar Jackson when we got the best running quarterback maybe in the history of the league.
Easily.
I mean, that doesn't make much sense. So, anyway, 713-780-3776. Our Astros in action tonight against Oakland. Christian Javier has been wonderful, wonderful against the A's. He's got a 2.08 earned run average against them. He just seems to love to pitch against them. Was it last postseason he came in and threw three innings against them? Remember when Christian Javier was on a roll in the postseason? You were like, holy crap, this dude is really, really good.
Yeah.
And then early on this year, Christian Javier has been good against them as well. So this is nice. He has... I mean, it was a little worrisome the way he's given up runs the last, but what was, I was more encouraged by him giving up the three early runs and going seven.
And then
seven,
what he did after that.
And then, yeah, and then going seven.
That's all I care about is do we have tough, mentally tough pitchers. Lance McCullers has shown a little bit better.
Oh, much better.
Ability to, when things get a little spotty, he's coming out of it. Christian Javier, I love seeing that. Now, he hasn't been at his best over the last three games. But watching him be able to get through a rougher patch, man, that's such a big deal. That's such a big deal for a young pitcher to be able to do that. That's why I'm pretty adamant about I just don't believe Christian Javier should go to the bullpen. I know he can do it, and I know it's a benefit maybe to the team. But Christian Javier's long-term success is much more important than Jake Odorizzi, honestly. And I think Odorizzi should be the guy. Now, Urquidy is...
Well,
if you had to make a choice, now maybe Urquidy would, maybe it wouldn't be Fromber.
Well, certainly Luis Garcia gets out of the rotation.
Well, yeah, he'll be gone.
Luis Garcia gets out of the rotation.
But Greinke doesn't go anywhere.
Greinke's in the rotation.
Fromber's in the
McCullers
rotation.
McCullers in the rotation, for sure.
Yeah.
Fromber's in the rotation.
When he gets back, yeah.
When he gets back. This is when he gets back and Odorizzi gets back as well. And Urquidy gets back.
Yeah.
Fromber, Greinke, McCullers, Urquidy, I think should be locked for the rotation.
Why not Javier? Javier
and
has as many
Javier,
starts.
So then Javier, you're saying Odorizzi goes to the pen.
Yeah. If you need to.
Now Odorizzi has got more pellets. He's got more skins in the game than
he does, and he's only 20 and he's only what, he's in early 30s?
Well, here's the thing is he's been breaking down lately. That's a problem.
Well, that's why I don't.
He's 31. He's 31. He has not looked good this year. His ERA is way up there. It's a small sample size.
Yeah, he was a little he got in late. He got in late and then he didn't stick around long.
Yeah.
And it wasn't great. So that's why I mean to me, you know, so far it's worth noting Jose Urquidy has 20 career starts. Javier has 17. So it's not like Javier's way behind Urquidy. The whip numbers for Christian Javier in 2 years so far in 19 total games is .986. Javier in 19 games has whip numbers that are really good. He locates, although his walk total is a little higher than you would anticipate, but... You know, Urquidy has never had a whip number below 1.0, and he has 20 starts. I don't know that Urquidy is a lock to stay in.
He's got a career 3.36. His whip is 105. It's not like
yeah,
it's,
no, that's
it's
good.
Crazy. No.
I mean, that's good.
No.
I mean, Jake Odorizzi, honestly, Odorizzi's the guy who, if you have to put somebody in a bullpen, why should he stand ahead of Urquidy? Why should he stand ahead of Javier? These guys are your future, not Odorizzi.
Strikes to walkouts is under 3. Urquidy's is 3.8 strikes per walk, strikeouts per walk. It's gonna be a difficult decision, but that's a good decision. I mean, and here's the deal: is Luis Garcia goes to the bullpen. Yeah. Now you got yourself a nice long reliever.
He's 32. Odorizzi.
I got 31. But after that, Now you got a tough decision, and that's a good thing because you're getting a pretty good pitcher. Javier has done it, but I go back to when Javier, when they needed, didn't need a fifth starter, they sent, as opposed to putting Javier in the bullpen to help you with long relief, and this is when they were really scuffling, and the bullpen looked like crap. The offense was crap. This is when they went on their little losing streak and looked like a bad baseball team. They had Javier down with the walk-ons, pitching and getting, building up his strength to become a starter, to become a long starter, and to build up his pitching strength, as opposed to using him at the big league level to get outs in the middle innings. Yeah, which to me is an indicator they're saying, we want Javier to start.
No, and they should. And look, J.K. Odorizzi, as you mentioned, 2020, he only had 4 games. So far, in a shortened season. This last year, so far, he's got 3 games. The year before, he had 30 starts with 3.51 ERA. That was good. The year before that, 32 games with a 4.49. The year before that, 28 with a 4.14. I mean,
now he was, his best, it was just a couple of years ago.
You know, his innings pitch to hits are okay. WHIP numbers 124, 134, 121, 139, 163 right now. There's really no reason that the younger guys, and I know Odorizzi has a name, but that really doesn't, he's not better right now than Urquidy or Javier.
Early on, was he a bullpen guy? Or has he always been a starter?
No, I think he's always been a starter. Always been a starter. Well, I mean, other than, yeah, he's always been a starter. I mean, they may have used him in the pen his first couple of years some, but really since his 3rd year in the league, he's been a full-time starter.
Yeah, I don't know. That might hold weight with Dusty. We'll see.
And here's the thing. You also don't want to think about trading him or something like that when you say, well, we've got our young guys and we don't know if Odorizzi can be a bullpen pitcher. I suppose you could make a tough decision like say, okay, Christian Javier is just in his 2nd year. We love him as a starter, but this we'll use him basically on the back end of Zach Greinke's game because Zach has a hard time going 5 innings. So at times. So maybe you want to just say, look, maybe he's going to be the second half of a Greinke start. Maybe that's how you save him as a second starter. And you say, all right, we're going to close out games with Christian Javier. Greinke will go as deep as he can. Let's say he goes 6 games. We're liable to go 3 innings with Javier to close a game. I understand that it's unconventional, but they also did this in the postseason last year and had some success with it. And so maybe that's what you do to get more innings for a guy like Christian Javier because you just basically say, we know Javier can do it and we don't think Odorizzi can go to the pen. Maybe you do something like that. But as far as pitching is concerned, I mean, your future is Christian Javier. Your future may be Urquidy. Your future is not going to be Odorizzi, and I would argue he's not better than either one of those guys right now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really make a lot of sense, except for the fact that your bullpen is not very reliable. So having a guy like a Christian Javier in the bullpen is kind of like, you know,
it's a luxury.
That would be a nice luxury to have this guy throw 2 times a week.
Yeah, that's a luxury. As opposed to once a week, but 7 innings. I mean, it could be 6-1, half dozen the other.
No, I mean, once again, if you look at this like, we're going to have a first half starter and a second half starter of a game. Well, if you look at it that way, like I'm sure analytics directors probably do, and you say Lance McCullers goes 5 2/3 and then throws 106 pitches, and then we're coming with a guy who has that kind of, you know, movement on his pitches and doesn't pitch the same as Lance McCullers, it's a completely different look. So, you know, Javier might be able to get through 3 innings and close a game out.
Mm-hmm. We've got here in Houston one of the greatest draft picks of all time.
Garrett Wallow with the leadership?
This is not Garrett Wallow. So I will tell you who it is on the other side after you talk about Craig DeCerf.
Craig DeCerf is one of the greatest general managers of a car location of anybody that I've ever worked with. I mean, he's the best. And I've known him now from well over a decade. I've been doing business with Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Well, I've been doing business with Craig DeCerf. And so when he went to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, I went there. Let me tell you the dirty little secret here is if you're looking for Chevy or Buick or, you know, the Chevy Buick, the GMC, you can find those at a number of dealerships. But this is the difference. They never hassle you. They never hustle you. They give you a fair price right off the bat. They don't make you try to negotiate down for it and try to, you know, where you've got to go in there and you feel like it's a, you're in a defensive posture right off the bat. It's never that way. They give you top dollar for your trade-in value, and they get you every discount imaginable, every dealer cashback. And they'll even tell you, and this happened with me and my wife, they said, look, I don't think it's a good time right now for you to get the lease you're looking for. Why don't you wait, and we'll let you know when a great program comes out. And 3 months later, I got the call, and they had a great program on leases, and they took care of me like that. That's the honesty that I want. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go take a look at all the vehicles they have in stock, and go look at all their great programs they have going on right now at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 33rd team is really, really, really good. If you guys get to the33rdteam.com, great football information and just interesting stuff that they do. They have, earlier this week, they looked at the most valuable offensive players ever in NFL history. And they also now did the most valuable defensive players. And they do it as far as excess added value. That's how they rank them. And this is a good example here. Like, who's better, Joey Bosa or Matt Judon? And Bosa has Judon beat nearly every individual statistic, right? 47.5 to 34.5 sacks, on and on and on and on and on. But you look at added value. Bosa has the lead there as well. He has 42 added value, while Judon has 36 added value. However, the third overall pick is expected to be really good, right? Joey Bosa was the third overall pick.
Yeah.
While Judon was 146th pick.
Yeah, he reminded me.
Yeah. Therefore, Judon has actually created more value.
Yes.
In excess, he has 29.5 in excess added value, while Bosa has 10.8. So, again, this isn't to say that Judon is the better player, but he has more added value because of where he was drafted. So when you look at different guys in history, where they were drafted and how they've played, Aaron Donald is the number one interior defensive lineman. He was the first round 13th overall, but his excess added value is still, I mean, he was a first rounder. He's better than Charlie Johnson, who was drafted in 1977. He was a seventh rounder. But Charlie Johnson was really good. Aaron Donald was the 13th pick, and Aaron Donald still hasn't beat. Other guys, Michael Carter, drafted in 84, John Randall, you remember John Randall, Otis Sistrunk, all of those guys. Off-ball linebackers, Patrick Willis has the most excess added value ever. Bobby Wagner, who has been great ever since he got to Seattle. Zach Thomas, great player. Ray Lewis, Lance Briggs, those are the top guys. The top cornerback ever, Everson Walls, added value. He was an undrafted free agent.
Oh, okay. That's why.
Undrafted free agent.
Was he a Hall of Famer?
Is Everson Walls a Hall of Famer? I don't know. Is he? I don't know.
I feel like he is.
Richard Sherman, fifth round. He's second. Eric Allen, Lamar Parrish. There's on and on and on. The Texan, the edge defenders. J.J. Watt has the most excess added value on any edge defender, and by a large margin. First round, 11th overall pick, his excess added value is 65.1. Cameron Wake was an undrafted free agent, and he's 15 points behind JJ. Jared Allen, Lawrence Taylor. Was Lawrence Taylor any good? He was the second overall pick, though. So, well, he was expected to be good.
It helps when, obviously, you have a huge advantage when you are drafted later and you outperform your draft sliding. It's a huge.
But JJ was only 11th. I mean, like he was a fifth rounder.
Well, but you also aggregate the, you know, you run an aggregation of your total salary, and you divide over years played. So any time that you have first contract was so cheap, it's a huge advantage to you in something like that.
Yeah.
That
well, JJ was 11th pick, the 11th pick.
And that helps a little bit. But for JJ and Aaron Donald, that just shows how dominant they were.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Lawrence Taylor, yeah. for that matter as well. Everson Walls not.
Reggie White is fifth on this list.
Look at this. Everson Walls led the league in interceptions three times, was three-time first-team All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ, did not get into the Hall of Fame.
Not in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Huh. So, interesting stuff. And
will Richard Sherman get there?
Richard Sherman will probably be a Hall of Famer. Probably. The all-time leaderboard. Here's something that might be just a hair surprising. The most excess added value by any player ever in NFL history, according to this study, Jeff Garcia, undrafted free agent in 1999. Russell Wilson is second, 75th overall pick. He's a point and a half, 1.7 behind Jeff Garcia. But he was drafted. Jeff Garcia had production for an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, he was.
You would think Tony Romo would be on this.
He was pretty good.
You know, as an undrafted guy.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Thurman Thomas is third on the list. He was 40th overall. Jake Scott, the safety from Miami. Everson Walls, Terrell Davis. Richard Sherman, J.J. Watt is eighth overall,
God,
as far as all time.
That's good for being for the
11th overall pick. He is by far the highest pick that is on this list.
Ahead of Aaron Donald.
Yes, he's ahead of all time. Yes.
Highest pick.
Aaron Donald was 13th.
Yeah, he was picked higher than him. Yeah,
he was picked higher than Aaron Donald. So he is, of the top 20 players, J.J. Watt is the highest draft pick. You got William Andrews, the running back from the Falcons, Kent Hall, Jim Zorn, Emmitt Smith. So interesting stuff as far as added value of where you are drafted. And it's in current players who could join the list. Lamar Jackson's number one, 32nd overall pick, and his projected position rank is third right now. He could possibly join the list. TJ, Alvin Kamara, Quentin Nelson.
Quentin Nelson, that high, huh?
He was sixth overall.
Yeah, and it's hard to give value. Like, they have to be using all
pros. Yeah, but
pros.
He is so good that he's a
chance.
What are
they
using?
All pro? They got to, for an offensive lineman, they got to use all pro to create value.
Well, and I guess they break down how he plays, too.
Who did this?
33rd team.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 They have some analytics department, but you still have to, like, use to create. That's one of the flaws of, I think one of the, not flaws, but one of the weaknesses for analytics in terms of the desire to create, you know, it's not baseball where you can just look at a box score and get all your, and create all your data. You have to watch these games. You have to put eyes on it. You have to, you can combine your eyes with the, you know, with some of the data. But for an offensive lineman and a nose tackle, you know, their jobs are not going to entail creating statistics and data. You could say it does. There's an offshoot where it will create more yards rushing if a guard is really good, but only over his hole, and you can't control what the tackle next to you did or what the center did. You can only control what you're doing.
A guy coming from behind again.
Yeah.
This is interesting too. Patrick Mahomes, he's projected to be his position ranked right now with the way that he's playing, just 15th. Just 15th because he was the 10th overall pick. Deshaun Watson is right there, too, with him. They're almost identical. Deshaun is the 12th overall pick, and he's only projected to be 15th as well.
Where is Merciless Island on this 33rd team?
He's not really on this right
here. Altuve. Neat stuff, John, is what Cup
Fan
Timmy said.
No, this is interesting.
Cup Fan Timmy said, neat stuff, John.
This is interesting, Cub Fan Timmy. Oh, sorry, we're not talking about your crappy Cub team, okay? Like, anybody cares about what the Cubs are doing, Cub
people don't
team.
Come here for numbers, John. They
Where's
come here
Tom
for,
Brady on this list? He has to be number one.
They come here for Lance.
It's funny, Tom Brady's not even listed on this.
Then something's wrong here.
Something is wrong.
You mean the guy in the sixth round?
The sixth round?
Who got...
Oh, let me take a look.
That's not possible. He has to be number one. A six-rounder who won a billion Super Bowls?
No, he's not. It's so funny. Jeff Garcia, Russell Wilson, Jim Zorn, Dak
Prescott.
Okay, I'm
done with that.
And then next is Grogan, Aaron Brooks, Kurt Warner, Mark Rippon.
Grogan?
You could be forgiven for thinking Tom Brady would immediately lead this list. However, it's easy to forget that the future Hall of Famer threw only three passes as a rookie, hadn't yet hit his heights as a passer before his rookie deal ran out. So he checks in only the 14th.
Is off the rookie
this
deals?
Is just off their rookie deals.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, that's what it says here.
Okay.
He checks in only at 14th. And 81st among all players.
I mean, you
players.
Know, he did win a Super Bowl's rookie deal, but I get it.
Yeah. But he only threw three passes his rookie year. And I guess that's why Mahomes doesn't check in either, because he didn't start until the last week of the season, right? Or the second to last week of the season?
That was the only game he played that
year. Yeah, that year. In the snow, right, against Denver.
Yeah, had a great game, but it's right. only one.
That was the only game he played that rookie year. So that's probably why he doesn't check in either. All right, 828 ESPN 97.5, 713. Neat stuff. Neat stuff there.
I mean, people come here for Lance laughing at little people fights, not numbers, John.
Not numbers.
Realize who you're talking to.
I'm a numbers guy.
I almost choked to death watching. There's more. Like, there's.
It's no, this one, is not. One that's not. People can't. Another. People didn't turn on the radio so they could listen to you watch little people fighting. Okay? That's not what people are here for. This is interesting stuff. It's not neat stuff.
Says you.
Neat interesting, stuff. Interesting stuff.
Neat stuff, John. Thanks for that.
Oh, my gosh. Should the Rockets bring back Kelly Olynyk? Next, right here, ESPN 97.5.
Or little people fighting.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back. Jackie says, unlikely all seven starters stay healthy for long stretches. I guess.
Well, that's why you can't get rid of anybody. Well, you still have to find a place to use them, though.
God, I just hope Lance can hold up, man.
When has he been hurt?
A bunch.
No, since his surgery.
Well, he's only pitched how long since his surgery?
But he hasn't had any surgery. And he said everything is unrelated. This is what he told us on the podcast. When they had that replacement, that should be good. Like, he would have no more problems with that arm. And he had changed some of his arm slot stuff. He had, you know, he said he made some physical changes. But he also had a ligament replaced that was a major, like, that's a major, major deal. That was never going to be an issue again. So he said injury should not be something to be concerned about. Now, obviously, I was like, whatever. But it's always been arm stuff. It's never been, quad. Right. It's never been.
But it's still that
hamstring.
Same arm. I know that he got it surgically repaired, but it's still that same arm. He missed all of 2019. He started 11 out of 60 games last year.
Yeah,
so he was there.
He didn't miss his time last year.
No.
He didn't miss time this year, other than when he was. Why did he miss? Yeah. He missed. Or what was he out for?
I don't know. He missed some starts in 18. He missed some starts in 17. He missed a bunch of starts in 16.
Well, no. There's no question that was an issue. Is there a chance he's passed it? What was he out for?
He was ill this year. That's why he missed.
Yeah,
I think it might have been the vaccine thing. Actually,
oh, I thought he got that done early. I think he might have just gotten sick. You know, people forget.
You can
get sick.
People do get sick. Yeah.
People do get sick.
And it's not always
COVID. My daughter just called me yesterday. She said, yeah, I had strep throat. I said, no, you didn't. You had COVID.
COVID, yeah.
There is no such thing as strep
throat.
You
only get COVID now.
That's it. No,
I got a headache.
The doctor looked at my throat and
Remember when you said you had allergies? It was COVID.
It was COVID.
You're supposed to trust that doctor?
You can't trust a doctor that says you don't have COVID.
No.
No.
Put that thing in his nose and find out. Remember that one video that terrified everybody because it was that soldier who was like shaking uncontrollably while this lady went about 18 inches deep with a nasal swab? I'm like, that was I'm the first never one. Getting
I'm not,
that.
I'm not doing that.
And then when you get it for real, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of bad.
Well, it'll make your eyes water a little bit. Well, not like that video.
No, that sucked.
You guys are complaining, but you could have always been in China and gotten their COVID test.
Yeah, that's anal swab.
When you're yep.
Yep. That's so, you know,
just realize
Japan was not too pleased with them. Can you please stop?
Hey,
our diplomats, can you please stop?
look, guys, I know we fought some wars way back when, but this is not the way to get back at us.
Yeah, this
please.
Is. Okay. Our ambassador does not need that, okay?
He doesn't have to place his hand on the wall and let you do what you want to do to him.
Kelly Olynyk, the Rockets have bird rights to him. Do you give him Max?
No, Max! I thought you were just going to say Ryan Anderson money
over,
or something.
Start this segment over again. Go to Max. The anal swabs and then get work your way to Kelly Olynyk.
He's, okay... What? How much do you pay Kelly Olynyk?
Give that man Ryan Anderson money.
Money.
I mean,
yeah, you pay Kelly Olynyk like you pay Kelly Olynyk $14 million.
No, that's not Ryan Anderson money.
Ryan Anderson was 20.
Yeah,
no, I'm not paying Ryan Anderson money.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're putting a little. You're being a little disrespectful to Kelly Olynyk. $14 million
because he scored. Ain't that, on
you're
a bad
paying
team?
Him less than Carlos Correa.
Yeah, I'm not going cross sport. Basketball is way better than football in terms of baseball.
Rafael Stone, were you here when Daryl Morey decided to give Ryan Anderson that money? I'd like that deal.
Yeah, this is what I say. No, we'll find another Kelly Olynyk. Congratulations on being a statistical producer on the worst team in basketball. Congratulations. What difference does that make?
No.
You're going to get yourself locked up with Kelly Olynyk because so he can get you a bunch of points and rebounds on a team that stinks? No.
How about a couple of years, because that's how long you're going to have Christian. Well, maybe a three-year deal.
Here's what I'm going to offer him. 2 years,
he averaged 19. He shot 54%. 39 on
take
threes.
It or leave it.
That's a pay decrease. He's not taking that.
Yeah, that's right. Rebound. It sure is a pay decrease. We're not paying that bad contract you had before.
What are you talking about?
2 of 24. Take it or leave
he's
it.
He's not taking that.
Good. Beat it. Go to Toronto.
He's Canadian.
Go to Toronto. Why?
He's Canadian.
Yeah, he's Canadian. Get out of here.
But he's got great hair.
Go to Toronto. Go in your career. Give them a hometown discount.
No.
We're not in the business.
You're giving him
out.
More than 14.
For what?
Put some
for
respect
who?
On his name.
For what?
I
what's
wouldn't.
He going to? He's not your future?
No,
why are
not.
You paying a guy who's not your future?
No, he's not your future, but you got, you know
go
what?
Go get a guy who's your future.
How about winning some basketball games?
How about spend that money on somebody who's a younger player that you think is part of a core? Kelly Olynyk's never going to be part of a core.
Is he part of your timeline? Because if you get your pick, that means you're going to get a top 3 or 4 pick in the draft. Is Kelly Olynyk at 30 years old part of that player's timeline?
Yeah.
No.
Well, if you give him a 2-year deal, it doesn't matter.
2 or 3 year deal to be.
To do what?
But if you give a player a 4-year deal, that's a little different.
Well,
a younger player, a 4-year deal.
Well, I don't know. You got a little bit of a problem. What with John Wall with $40 million and Eric Gordon with 19? You know, I think that's a little bit of a problem. I can see that. Christian Wood. Is what 41/3?
If let's think about
which is 14-ish.
Think about usage next year. If you get your draft pick that you need, that guy is going to get a lot of time. Kevin Porter is going to get usage. Christian Wood's going. That's three guys who you would rather play through than Kelly Olynyk. You're going to pay Kelly Olynyk the money he wants to stay when he'll be your fourth option next year.
I don't know if he's going to be your fourth.
He should be. It should be your draft pick, Kevin Porter Jr., Christian Wood. Kelly Olynyk should not be featured in this offense next year.
Well, but Kelly Olynyk will get his. Kelly Olynyk will average, even if
13.
He's not the main. Kelly Olynyk will still average 17, 18.
No, why? When he started with the team that had championship aspirations, he averaged 13.5. That is what he is. He came here because and put up 19 because why not?
Well, you this doesn't have championship aspirations.
Well better players. If you get a Cunningham or Jalen, whoever you draft, plus Kevin Porter, plus Christian Wood, Kelly Olynyk's not averaging 19, 17 points a game next year because he won't be featured that way.
No.
Well, you still got to have guys that'll. No, Kelly Olynyk could easily have a 17 points a game.
He's never done that before.
I mean, it's not like you said championship team. Even with Christian Wood getting his, even with.
Kelly Olynyk has never averaged more than 13.5 per season. He came here because there's nobody else. If you have guys you want to play through, he's not going to average 17 next year.
Well, he played on better teams than this, though.
But he's not. They're not going to give him the ball enough to average 17
next
year.
That's the thing is his possessions are going to go down. Because Christian Wood will be on the court
healthy, hopefully.
A lot of this is really helped out by having a bad roster and no Christian Wood. What if you have Christian Wood, who's going to get more of the touches, and the Cade Cunningham slash hopefully Jalen Suggs?
Did Eric Gordon die? Is Eric Gordon dead?
No, he's been hurt.
He's hurt.
Oh, he's hurt. Oh,
John
really?
Wall's going to get his touches.
Eric Gordon was hurt?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Well, I mean, that's what you deal with. So why? Kelly Olynyk is just a guy to
How about
get
a guy that's
stats.
Actually going to be on the court? That'd be great.
But he's not part of your future. Kelly Olynyk is not really part of your future. He's a good basketball player, but ultimately, Kelly Olynyk's got way more value.
No, but there are some guys that you still have.
But why would Kelly Olynyk stay here?
If you want to win some basketball games.
Why would Kelly Olynyk stay here when he could go with a team that has a better chance to win? What? Honestly,
he liked it here.
Kelly
he said Olynyk, he liked it here.
Great. Kelly Olynyk has no value for the Rockets. He's just a stat collector on a bad team. But Kelly Olynyk, if Kelly Olynyk went and played for, the Portland Trailblazers, he might have more value to them. Like he has, I think Kelly Olynyk, what he did in Houston has revitalized maybe his value for a team who views him as a 2-year window guy. Hey, we can add him as a 4 who can do some different things for us, give us good time, might be in our top 8. Let's go after Olynyk, who we feel like is maybe a top 7 guy in our rotation player. That's a better deal for him than staying with a slappy unit like the Rockets, who aren't even close to being where they need to be.
No, I'm not saying it's the best situation but should the Rockets actually try to get some players that actually can? Here's another thing. You get a bunch of slappies in here or young players. Oh, let's give all the minutes we can to Jay Sean Tate.
And then
Christian Wood, when his deal is done, he's going to go, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. And look, I think Kelly Olynyk has played really well. I just think if you have a process and you're true to your process, it should be to draft inside the top 3 picks, get one of these players, hopefully Suggs or Cunningham, hopefully Suggs, and then say, okay, now we've got a front court and a back court guy. That's who we're going to build around, and then who are pieces we can continue to build. It's not bad to have a veteran, but Olynyk is only a 2-year deal. You could give him a 3-year deal if you want, and maybe that's what you would do, is give him a 3-year deal and say, okay, he's healthy, he's productive, maybe he's good for team chemistry or whatever. Great. Because what you can't have is too many guys out at the booby trap getting hit in the face with champagne bottles on road trips at 5 in the morning or whatever. Like, Sterling Brown, I'm not even worried. I mean, Sterling Brown, if he makes a team, he's back into the roster guy anyway. Kevin Porter Jr. has to prove that he's grown up enough or mature enough that you can trust him. And I don't think anyone feels like they can trust him.
I'm not sure that's
And he's
happen.
Talented.
That's not going to happen.
But I don't know that you can. You have to keep him on a short leash if you're the Rockets, because you can't put too much of your hopes and dreams into him. He hasn't proven himself to that degree yet.
Yeah.
Why are you wearing Seattle football, Seahawks football?
Because his boy works for them.
Because I'm a better person than you?
No, you just show you're a team jumper.
No.
You jump from team to team like those baseball annies. You're just jumping from whoever the team comes in.
I'm jumping
whoever gives me
t-shirts, I wear them.
He's a t-shirt whore.
You're a t-shirt whore. Janice Rossi, Tua. John Granato, Tua.
Did you see
a whore.
When I was wearing my Browns gear? Now I'm wearing my Seahawks
gear.
Now
you're off of the Browns now?
Yeah.
Now it's a good time to be a Brownie.
But I wore my Brown sweatshirt yesterday. You know why? Because I got it for free.
Are you also a Coug?
Yeah, I got a free t-shirt from them, too.
So anybody that gives you a shirt, you'll wear a t-shirt?
Yeah, yeah.
What about that one that says the Caucasians? Have you seen that one?
No.
Bomani Jones.
It's like the Indians, like the Cleveland Indians, but it just says Caucasian.
And it's a white face instead of that
and
red
a white
face.
What about that? Will you wear that one?
I would wear that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that one. Uh-huh. What about the All Blacks? If I got an All Blacks shirt?
Yeah.
You're in the New Zealand rugby?
New Zealand rugby. All Blacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at Chance doing a haka.
I would wish he wouldn't. I don't know if they have any.
Is that a haka or a dab?
That's a haka.
Depends on who you are, I guess.
See, you can also foot stomp and dab and take two different types of dabs.
Why does he dab?
Is that in a black fraternity? What's he doing?
Why is Kelly Olynyk the guy you keep talking about, or is it Kelly Leak? They do have.
They do have similar hair.
Similar hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, they do.
Kelly Leak from the old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad News Bears.
All right. 713-780-3776. Anybody wants to get in here, come on, hang with us here on ESPN 97.5. It is Kelly. I've never seen Kelly Olynyk with the smoke hanging out of his mouth like Kelly Leak. You just can't make the Bad News Bears that one today. You just can't do it. You just can't. I'm sorry. You can't have a kid smoking, you know, choking down a heater in the middle of a movie. You just can't have it. 7378033776. That's not a jab at the show. That's not a jab, but here it is, Site Jab.
Well, so I'm going to get a hold of Hector from Site Jab, and I've got a football scouting program that I'm working on with the director of analytics, former director of analytics from Tampa Bay Bucks. We got this really cool program, and we've had the back end has been worked on by a development group that's outside of the state, and they've done the work that they've done. But, you know, here's the thing. The front end, it just doesn't look good. It's super bland, super blah. So we need front-end development. We need the front-end development to where it looks good and it's more functional and it's got the bells and the whistles. And I've been telling you guys, and I'm going to do the same thing that I tell you to do, which is use my friends at SiteJab. Look, they can build the entire thing out for you. If you want, if you've got some things on the back end of yours that is more math-related, which ours is going to be, you know, they can work on that for you as well. They're going to make your site look good. They're going to make it functional. They're going to give you the ability to put e-commerce on there, to have the video in, you know, the videos that are implemented into the system so that you have the ability to show exactly who you are and what you are. Your website and your company is going to be featured in the way that it should be so that when people hit your website, they are going to be impressed and they're going to stay on the site and those eyeballs can convert into actual business. And that's what it's all about. Websites are a mechanism to turn your eyeballs into converted business, and that's where SiteJab really shines. Go to the website, sitejab.com. That's sitejab.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
ESPN's talking about, they showed a bunch of highlights of Carson. Who's going to have a better year this year, Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts?
The Texans better hope Carson Wentz does, because those Eagles get a third round, get another first rounder. You can make a trade. I would probably say Carson Wentz. He's with this guy, Frank Reich.
That is going to make a huge difference.
He's got a better roster around him.
Yeah. I like better year, Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts?
I think Wentz.
Yeah.
I think Wentz. You look at Hurts, like, Hurts has Miles Sanders. He has Jalen Reagor, who still needs to prove himself. He's got a rookie and Devontae Smith, an offensive line that's, frankly, has been a little disappointing over the last couple of years. When you look at the Colts, they're built for now. They still need left tackle, but I hear Eric Fisher could end up over there.
No, he signed.
Oh, who did he sign with?
The Colts.
Oh, I must have missed it.
He may not be ready to go to start the year. October.
October.
Yeah, he won't. Yeah, he'll be.
So that's he could only miss four, five, six games.
Yeah, about a month or so, plus whatever.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you look at, they have three running backs: Marlon Mack, Jonathan Stewart, and Nyheim Hines, who are all different kinds of backs. Jonathan Taylor, not Stewart. Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, and Nyheim does a little of this, a little of that. They picked up a running back that I like a lot in the draft also, this kid from Duke that I think's got outside shot of making a team. But, you know, Michael Pittman started to come on last year. T.Y. Hilton is back, took a discount to come back and play for the Colts. We'll see if Paris Campbell can become a player finally. But I think you got a good defense. Like, they're going to ask him to do less, probably Carson Wentz, than the Eagles did. I think Carson Wentz is in a really good spot. We'll find out if he's dead mentally, if he's just too shell shocked from whatever happened last year. Then it is what it is. You're going to be looking for a quarterback in the next year's draft for the Colts. But if he can get back to being the Carson Wentz we saw in all the years before then, yeah, I think he definitely has the better year than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I've seen what Carson Wentz looks like. Carson can actually play pretty good football. I've seen him, you know, I've seen him do it. Jalen hasn't shown me that yet. He's got two starts. One was good. One was terrible.
He had more than that. He had more than two starts.
Jalen?
Yeah.
Because remember he was put on the bench last year?
They tanked the game. Their final game.
They were tanking. But he...
He started four games.
Yes. Oh, did he start four?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I just think that we'll see. I mean, hey, Jalen Hurts been doubted before. We'll see if he doesn't step up. If he doesn't, we don't know that Carson Wentz isn't. He was terrible. He was terrible, and we're all thinking that Frank Reich is gonna.
I guess they tanked the game on purpose. Jalen was 7 of 20.
No, that was weak. Yeah,
17.
Didn't they pull him from the game?
They pulled him from the game. He was 7 of 20 for 72 yards. Yeah, don't you
remember that with that big stink because he pulled him and he put in...
In his last two games, Jalen Hurts had one touchdown and three interceptions. Like, that is a huge risk for them to pass on potential quarterback. But that's what they're doing. They're putting their hope in Jalen Hurts. We'll see. I think Carson Wentz is a much safer option. It's a more stable team, too. The Colts have better stability than the Eagles do right now. Tell you what's going to be. Does Deshaun Watson play a game this year?
Does Deshaun Watson play a game this year? I think the answer is no. I think that no should be the favorite.
Because he'll be suspended the entire year by the league?
Because he'll be suspended and then he won't have a place to play. Because he's not going to play for the Texans. And they won't have traded him.
So he'll be on the roster, but on a...
He will not play in a game.
But they have to keep him on the roster, or will they have an exempt list? Because if the league is not suspended him...
Or he won't
him,
report.
Well, they'll put him on a commissioner's... Yeah, but you have to... Well, what do you do if you're the Texans?
What do you mean? If he doesn't report, what are you going to do?
He's on an exempt list.
Well, no. And then when he's off the exempt list, or off of his suspension, he just won't come here.
But you don't want him on taking up a roster spot.
Well, if he doesn't show up, then he's not taking up a roster
spot. There's a list for that.
Yeah. Right. So, no. I think the answer is no. Deshaun Watson will not play a game this year. I think that's a favorite. What do you think?
I mean, the only way he can is if he gets traded. I don't think the Texans will play him. The only way he can is if he gets traded, right? So, if you trade him... You have to get back proper value. Can the Texans get back the value they want in mid-season before the trade deadline?
No,
I think it's possible.
Well, that's a possibility.
Well, so if
everything is done,
if the league suspends him for 8 games, let's say he has an 8-game suspension,
yeah,
you could see him traded before trade deadline, 100%.
First of all, is that the under over?
I mean, over under to me is 6. 6.5.
I'm going over.
Based on the history of what we've seen in the past?
I'm going over. This is 22 accusations.
They have to be proven, or it has to stay 22. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how the league handles this. This is unlike anything I've ever seen. It's not full on that we can tell. It doesn't feel like it's going to be the full on sexual assault. It wasn't domestic violence. This is inappropriate behavior. It is beyond inappropriate behavior. It's multiple cases of it. There's clearly, according to the allegations, and according to Deshaun's own admissions through his lawyer, he appears to have an issue of some sort. So, you know, it's going to be tough because there are probably not going to be criminal charges when it's all said and done. And so how will the league...
Probably not. We don't believe.
How will the league handle that? Ezekiel Elliott, they gave 4 or 6 games for Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke was... He was pled down, didn't he?
No, he didn't. They did the...
There was no reduction?
You mean it was reduced... Not pled down.
Reduced.
He got,
might have been.
He was suspended for the first 6 games of 2017.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He didn't challenge it. Remember? He got suspended and didn't challenge it.
I think Deshaun's going more.
And remember, Ezekiel Elliott had one issue.
Deshaun's got
but Ezekiel
22.
Elliott's, but Ezekiel Elliott's was domestic violence, too. And pulling a girl's top down in public. Zeke had a couple things that weren't, he said, well, I guess the one, but there was a police report filed and all this and that. I don't think 6.5 is a bad number I'm putting up there. Because what you'd have to say is Deshaun's going to be punished more heavily than Ezekiel Elliott.
So why would
that be the case?
Because it's because of 22.
But they have to, but the NFL decided after doing their own work that Ezekiel Elliott had some issues. What if they go in here and they decide that these 22 are not 22? Remember, there's been some stuff that's been, the Rusty put some stuff out there where some of the girls have said, I'm in this for the money.
I don't know
that the 22 number is going to be the 22
number. No, it's probably not going to be 22 number. And we'll see how the NFL looks at him being naked and accidentally touching and all of that stuff. But there was accusations of him groping. There were accusations of him
coercing a woman to oral sex.
Coerced activity.
Yes.
There's more than Zeke had. Even if it's just three, it's more. But if there was
physical violence against a woman, I'm not trying to play conversion chart, but I am in a way. If there's physical violence against a woman, she had pictures and things like that, and there's supposedly more than one instance. How do you weigh that out against what the accusation?
Well, there's alleged
Deshaun.
Physical violence against the woman with Deshaun. I don't know how you prove it, but there is alleged physical violence.
But the big difference here is.
Is it called sexual assault, isn't it?
Whatever
the terminology
is. Your physical violence is not going to be. It is. Now we're dealing with terminology and how the league parsed it. He supposedly put pressure on a woman to do something, and she did it for fear of his size and things like that. Well, I'm not making any claims one way or another on that accusation. What I am saying is the league does not, I don't believe, or police, they do not have any physical evidence that they can corroborate on that one. There is pictures and videos and a police report that the league could use in their investigation with Ezekiel Elliott. I'm just saying that I think it's challenging to compare the two, but you have to. But I don't know how you do it because one of them did involve the NFL basically didn't believe the Dallas Police Department. And they said, we think there's enough here that something went on and we're going to give him 6 games. And Ezekiel Elliott didn't even challenge it. He let the 6 games go. With Deshaun, I don't know. I just don't know how that's going to play out. Even if they give him 8, let's say they go really hardcore on Deshaun and they go 8 games, that's still enough resolution that a trade could happen for the Texans. I mean, any resolution could open the door up for a trade for the Texans.
Yes, and hopefully that'll be before the trade deadline, but I don't know that that'll be the case.
I'll give you an example.
And we don't look like we're making – there's zero leeway being made as far as negotiations
go. Who is a team that might – how about this? Did the Browns picked up the fifth-year option on Baker?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm trying to think of who would a team be who thinks they have a chance to be pretty good who would trade for Deshaun Watson in the middle of the year? And even if it's not – oh, you know what? Philadelphia. Philadelphia would be one of those teams. Maybe the Dolphins would actually be one of those teams.
I don't know why the Texans would make a midseason trade. What for?
Well, a trade deadline trade.
Why would the Texans not just wait? If they gave you the world,
what's the difference?
Well,
and if Deshaun is off the hook, I mean, if he's served a suspension, and you're going to give me the world for him, okay?
Well, see who gives you the world.
You're right. The only way you would do that is if you had the best deal possible.
Yes.
And who's got time to do all of that? I imagine that all happens. The bidding war begins in the offseason.
Yeah, it'd be a long shot.
Yep. All right, 59 pass.
You got to get two teams fighting for him.
713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. 713-780.
Seattle?
Russell. How about the Packers?
Wilson?
Maybe the Packers.
What if Deshaun
they might
goes,
have Blake Bortles at quarterback
what if Deshaun
at that
goes,
time.
I'm not interested in Packering.
Oh, I think he'd be interested in Packering.
Remember, he's got no trade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What about Steelers?
Ooh, that's a possibility.
Now, the Rooneys would have to be okay with Deshaun. But what about the Steelers? The Steelers the Eagles, look, there's some teams that make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
But Deshaun would have to be okay. Deshaun better open up that wish list if he wants to go somewhere.
Yeah. All right. 7378033776. Javon, you're going to be first up. Don't go anywhere.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.